if you've got bad timing on certain things, it just doesn't work. Even here in Honolulu, if you're going to cross the street, you better have good timing, right? If you got bad timing, you're going to have radiator marks right about here. Music, when you got music playing or a band playing with bad timing, what do you call that? Country Western music. No, I'm just kidding. I listen to country music. I'm just joking. Speaking of joking, you got to hear this story.
Well, to hear that joke, you'll have to stay tuned. Welcome to Words of New Hope with Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. When Jesus was on earth, he told his disciples how they could know when the end times were near, signs to watch for on God's eternal calendar. Pastor Wayne believes we are living in the final chapter, and today he'll tell you why, straight out of the Bible. Here he is with a message entitled, What Time Is It?
If you take out your notes, we're going to talk about the timing of God. And it's a very timely message today as well. But let me begin with a story of what took place. I've never missed a flight. I mean, I've gotten delayed and flights have been canceled on me, but I don't miss flights. And I've traveled a great deal ever since I was in my 20s. That's not 1920, but in my 20s. I've flown all over, speaking at camps or different conventions or conferences. And so I'm used to traveling a lot, but I've never missed a flight. But this one was my first time. I was going to a place in Florida to speak. So I boarded the plane in Los Angeles at that time, had a layover in Denver, and I got in an early flight about 7 o'clock. The next flight that would be taking me to Florida was at 10, 3-hour layover. And so I thought, this is great because I really have a lot of study to do and some emails to catch up on. So I found a quiet corner and I was pounding away on my keyboard, 7 and 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, and I thought, okay, I better start wrapping this baby up, close the computer, start moseying down to my gate. Yes, I still had an hour, but as I got to my gate, I noticed it was bare. There was nobody there. It was a ghost town. Except for one East Indian guy that was typing on something. You know how they move their head like this. And so I said, whoa, what's going on? I said, this place is empty. And then I looked up on the board and it said this, flight, whatever the number it was, boarding closed, departed. I said, what's going on? I'm supposed to be on that flight. It's gone already. I don't mind if you guys leave a little early, but at least you could have called. He said, he looked up at me and he said, what is your name? I said, it's Wayne Cordero. He said, oh, I remember we called your name and you didn't respond. I said, wait a minute, this is my flight. I've got an hour left. He looked at me and he paused as if to smile a little and he says, do you know what time it is? I said, what? Do you know what time it is? I said, hey, yeah, it's 9 o'clock. He said, we have found the problem. You see, what I didn't realize is that when you go from L.A. to Denver, you have to turn your clock up 1 hour. And I shouldn't have been working on email. I should have looked and seen what time it was. I had to wait another 3 hours before the next flight to Florida. And as I'm flying, this one phrase kept ringing in my head. Do you know what time it is? And that whole day, and I'm there to speak at a conference, and these words, do you know what time it is? And this whole week. And then it sort of morphed from an East Indian accent over, and it's like it morphed into God's voice. And it was like God was saying, Wayne, do you know what time it is? I mean, do you know what time it is now of how I'm working in your life? What I'm emphasizing. You see, what I realize is this, is that God has a clock on his wall. Now, we have a clock too, but often we don't jive with God's clock. And there's a clock for your life, what God is emphasizing in your life right now, lady. What God is working on in your life, brother. Might be a marriage, or it might be a relationship, or it might be an attitude, or it might be a tendency to just get depressed or victimize yourself. And God is saying, do you know what time it is? Do you know what I'm working on right now so that you can cooperate? Or are you going by a different time, a different watch? Because if you do, you're going to miss the flight. And you see, God God's clock doesn't have sweeping hands. He helps us to recognize what time it is by signs and events. There's a setback, an illness. And sometimes we get upset and say, God, why? What's going on? Whenever there's a setback, whether it's a financial setback or a health setback, the first question isn't why. First question should be this. Listen, what are you saying to me, God? A relationship breaks up. God, what are you saying to me? Because you see, you need to match up with God's clock, not mine. And that's where we learn to stay in step with God, that our timing gets to be with God's timing. So that you stay current with what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Otherwise, we're going by a different clock. And God is wanting to work with us. He's emphasizing something. Maybe when there's a setback, God is saying, maybe it's time that I'm going to be work. It's time to work on your humility. Because you've gotten kind of tantaran lately. So we're going to just bring a new season of humility. Or we're going to work on the fact that you've become someone that wants others to serve you. We're going to restore a heart to serve others. Maybe we're going to work on some relational issues that have been broken. A marriage. Or your relationship with your children or children with parents. Maybe it's time that God is going to do a change in your life. Break a habit or an addiction. Or maybe a wrong judgment that you've put on somebody by hearing something they said or misheard something they said, and then you put a judgment on them. Well, that's him. Okay, that's it then. That person is a whatever, liar or cheater or this or that. That's it. And even though it's a misperception, you've held on to that judgment, and it's held that person hostage in your mind for a year or two now or longer. And God is saying, do you know what time it is? Do you know what I'm working on right now? And if we're not walking in step with God, we will miss that flight. Timing. God's timing. You all know how it sounds when there's wrong timing, when the timing's off on a car or timing's off on, amateur musicians. Like, ugh. Timing. You can have bad timing. If you've got bad timing on certain things, it just doesn't work. Even here in Honolulu, if you're going to cross the street, you better have good timing, right? If you got bad timing, you're going to have radiator marks right about here. What is music? When you got music playing or a band playing with bad timing, what do you call that? Country Western music. No, I'm just kidding. I listen to country music. I'm just joking. Speaking of joking, you got to hear this story. There's two guys that are friends working in the bank. And I mean, there's 12 or 15 others working in the bank. But these two buddies, they're working in the bank and together. And all of a sudden, there's a brash of robbers that break in. Their faces are masked with black cloth. And they're brandishing automatic weapons. And he says, up against the wall, says one of the robbers. So all the employees jump up against the wall in single file. So they just all line up against the wall. And instead of going to steal money from the cash registers or from the safe, they start going to the employees. Give me your wallet. Give me your jewelry. Give me your watch. And then they go to the next one. Give me your wallet. Give me your watch. Give me your jewelry. And these two guys are at the end going, oh, man, what's going on? And they start coming towards him. And just then, one of the buddies hands his friend something. Without looking down, his friend says, what is this? He said, that's $100 I've owed you for some time now. Good timing makes a difference. You got bad timing and you got good timing. But this message today is very simple. I have one question for you. Do you know what time it is? Do you know what God's working on in your life? Maybe through a co-worker's displeasure with you, and you think, oh, first thing, whoa, God, what are you saying? Maybe God might be saying you're putting a little bit too much of your identity on what they think of you, and now I'm displacing that and replacing it on what I think of you. That's what you need to look at. You see, God is saying, do you know what time it is? Do you know what I'm working on? Are you going by the world's clock? You're going by yours, you're going to miss the flight. The Pharisees and the Sadducees come up to Jesus and they ask him kind of the same thing. It's in Matthew 16 and it's going to come up on the board. Let's read it together. Would you please? Go. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came up and testing Jesus, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. Now you got to hear something about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They are polar opposites. Like oil and water. They did not like each other. The Pharisees were strict, stoic, legalistic people. They took the law of God, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And if you missed one little thing on that law, they will just condemn you. They are so legalistic. They believed in heaven and hell, but most are going to hell if you don't do what this says. The Sadducees, on the other hand, were liberal. They didn't believe in heaven or hell. They just felt that this life was the all that you had, and God existed to help you make this life the best ever. Well, of course, you see that they couldn't get together, but they did. The Pharisees and Sadducees came together, and you think, what? There's polar opposites. It's like saying the vegetarians and the meat eaters had dinner together at the Hilton. No, it doesn't happen. The Democrats and Republicans agree on who the best president will be for the next election. No, it doesn't happen. It won't ever happen like that. But the only thing they had in common was their common hatred for Jesus. Pharisees with their stoic, stern, legalistic front. And the Sadducees don't believe in heaven or hell. This is it right here. Now, if you don't believe in heaven or hell, that gives you a life without hope because you have no hope. And that's why they were called Sadducees. Okay, so I'm running low on jokes. And they come to Jesus and say, show us a sign. Now, they had seen a draft of signs. They've seen miracle after miracle. Water turned into wine. The lame healed. Lepers healed. The dead rise. They had seen all kinds of miracles, but they came asking for another sign. Show us one more. One of the scriptures, another book says, and Jesus sighed a deep sigh. What that means is like he's almost exasperated that they would ask. You've seen so many signs, and you want another sign. And I thought, you know, I wonder if we're kind of like them sometimes. I mean, God's blessed us so much. He's given us life. And instead of thanking him for what he gives to us, we're mad because what he hasn't given us. Give us another blessing. Bless us some more. But do you know how much I've already blessed you? Yeah, but give us one more blessing. Come on. Yeah, but I've given you like hundreds and hundreds. One more blessing, as if that would satisfy us. But then it will want one more, and then another. It's not a matter of what we have, it's a matter of the heart. And that's exactly what Jesus was dealing with these people. But we can be like that. I mean, think of how much God has already blessed us. We're alive, aren't we? We're here. It will take all of eternity for us to have time adequate for us to say to the Lord how grateful we are for all that he's given. For example, getting up this morning was not guaranteed to you. God didn't have to get you up this morning, but he did. Most of you got up pretty late, but he got you up. Gave you another breath to take. We're here. We can comprehend. And God's given us so much. And yet we say, but I want more. And God is saying, no. Be thankful for what you have. I've given you so many blessings. So many. Be thankful for that. And the Pharisees said, well, we just want more signs. And so Jesus then responds. And would you read this as it comes up? Read it with me. Go. But he replied to them. When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? God is saying, I want you to discern the signs of the times. Don't just want another blessing. I've given you so much. Be thankful for what I have. And sometimes we look at these things, we just want another blessing. And God is saying, well, wait a minute. Are you grateful for what I've given to you? I was thinking, you know, God has blessed us so much, almost as if he's saying, be grateful for what I've given to you. We don't know when God's going to call somebody's number up. We have no idea. He could call your number up tomorrow, mine tonight. We don't know. In fact, the book of Psalms says it this way, our times are in your hands, which means God decides how much time you have here on the earth, not us. Yeah, but, wait a minute. You have to remember, Jesus was taken to heaven when he was 33 years old. And his mother Mary could have said, why? Instead, he brought redemption to the world. It's like God says, you did what I asked you to do. It is finished. I'm going to pull your ticket. God determines that, not us. But sometimes we're not grateful for that. But we get to be. We get to be. And in fact, what God might be saying is when someone goes home to be with the Lord, we pause and say, you know, what God is saying to us is this. We get to be really grateful for those that are around us right now. Our gratefulness needs to increase because we don't know when God's going to pull our number. And so we get to be very, very grateful. And sometimes we like, when I got to my gate, what's going on? Where is it? What is it? And the guy says, do you know what time it is? You know, here's what, when you hit something and there's a jostling or a setback, instead of saying, what is going on? Here's our first question that we should ask. God, what are you saying to us? What are you saying? In other words, what's your time clock say? What are you emphasizing? What are you dealing with? Because sometimes we fight against the symptoms when God is saying, if you do that, you miss the substance of what I'm trying to say to you. And sometimes when God does something, we need to just stop and say, Lord, what are you saying to me? It's a financial setback. What are you saying? There's a fracture in the family. What are you saying? You know what God might be saying? I want you to get brave now and start the healing in your family. Well, it's his fault or her fault. My boss's fault. No, it doesn't start with them. It starts with you. And if you're not careful, you'll miss the flight because you're blaming everybody else instead of asking, what are you saying, God? And so when we see that people are taken away, we have to remember, first of all, that God determines the times and the seasons, not us. And God might be saying, when my dad was taken away, my mom was taken away, I was really mad at God. I was in high school when that happened. I shook my fist at God, I remember. I was mad at him. But later on, I realized my mom was about 51 when she passed away. And it's like the Lord said, you know, instead of being mad at me, I want you to learn to be grateful for 51 years of a gift. 51 years I gave you a gift that you didn't deserve. 51 years as a mom, as someone who counseled you, as someone who was a friend, a sister, an auntie, I gave her to you. And I began to understand that what I was losing was a heart of gratefulness. And through this, God, what are you saying? One of the things I'm saying is I want to restore to you an understanding of what it means to be a man of gratefulness. And my heart restored and my relationship with God restored. Everything changed. Do you know what time it is? Do you know what I'm saying, what I'm doing? Pharisees, they had no idea. God is saying, now listen. I want you to understand what's happening. There's signs. You can read the signs of the day. It's like you have an app on your iPhone. You can tell what the weather's going to be like tomorrow, he said to the Pharisees and Sadducees. You can look at your iPhone and tell me what the easterly winds are going to be. But you can't discern the signs of the times. You see, one of the things God does on his clock is he gives us signs, not hands that move, but signs around us. And he's saying, discern the signs of the time. That'll tell you sort of like where you are in my scheme of things. In fact, you say, well, what are some of the signs of the times? Let me share with you that one of the signs of the times is when there becomes a downturn in the morals of the church and the country. It's a sign. Something's happening. And another is physical signs of famines or of earthquakes, great earthquakes. In fact, let's read the scripture as it comes up of what's taking place in Luke 21. He says, this will be a sign in that these are the last days. Read it with me, go. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be, what kind of earthquakes? Continue. And in various places, plagues and famine. Stop for a second. Did you know that last week they found the beginnings of a bubonic plague in Yosemite Park? One person contracted that. And they caught that. Thank goodness the health department stopped that. But you understand how close we are to a plague running amok? And that's right in our own backyard. Continue. Go. When these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. So he says, when these things, what? Begin to take place. Not when they're in full bloom, when they just begin to take place. Straighten up and lift up your heads and get it out of the world's time clock and look to God's time clock. Because your redemption, that word redemption is a word for ransom. Your ransom, your freedom is close. I'll talk to you about that in a second. But he's saying, one of the signs of the times, so you'll know where in the chronology of God we are, you look around, you'll see that there's going to be an increase of earthquakes and floods, etc. Now, there's always been earthquakes, but you will see that them at an ever-increasing rate of getting closer and closer together. And great earthquakes. We're in the last chapter. I don't know where in the last chapter we are, but we're in the last chapter.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled, What Time Is It? By Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope Christian Fellowship. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
You see, God's clock doesn't have sweeping hands. He helps us to recognize what time it is by signs and events. There's a setback, an illness. And sometimes we get upset and say, God, why? What's going on? Whenever there's a setback, whether it's a financial setback or a health setback, the first question isn't why. First question should be this. Listen, what are you saying to me, God? A relationship breaks up. God, what are you saying to me? Because you see, you need to match up with God's clock, not mine.
For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.